This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ. This is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, July 18th, 2025. There is a new addition to Studio One at W1AW, a complete station of the latest gear from Flex Radio, including a Flex 8600 Signature Series SDR transceiver, a Maestro C control console, Power Genius XL, PGXL amplifier, and Radio Sport RS60CF headset. The equipment is the latest addition to W1AW, which hosts a complement of equipment in each of three operating studios under rotating agreements with major amateur radio manufacturers. During his visit to present the station to ARRL on Wednesday, July 16, 2025, Flex Radio Chief Technology Officer Stephen Hicks, N5AC, described the station as an addition for the benefit of ARRL members and all visitors to W1AW. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, and CEO David Minster, NA2AA, were on hand to receive the equipment on behalf of ARRL. The Flex 8600 provides all of the latest features that we have, said Hicks, and with all the Flex radios, they are continuously being upgraded, so we have software releases on an ongoing basis and add features and functionality to it. ARRL members can come in here and try this equipment out and get used to it. ARRL Director of Marketing and Innovation Bob Interbenson, NQ1R, expressed gratitude for the collaboration with Flex Radio, saying, "We're grateful to have W1AW equipped with a full Flex radio station, allowing members and visitors to operate and enjoy this current generation technology when they come to experience the latest in amateur radio innovation." Interbenson explained that ARRL's partnership with Flex Radio is an ongoing arrangement with manufacturing, highlighting a shared commitment with the industry to advance amateur radio by offering a hands-on experience to W1AW visitors. Hicks and his Flex Radio colleague, Tony Brock Fisher, K1KP, also provided a highly informative presentation to ARRL staff on the forthcoming Flex Radio Aura series of 500-watt SDR transceivers. Their talk highlighted the radio's innovation use of polar modulation to address intermodulation distortion, a common challenge in linear amplification methods, while also reducing power consumption and heat generation. Ham Radio Science Citizen Investigation, HamSci, is preparing for a series of upcoming meteor scatter experiments. Operation will take place during two well-known meteor showers, Perseids on August 11th and 12th, and Geminids on August 12th and 13th. This is a combination special event and contest to generate contact during meteor scatter events using the 6 and 10-meter bands. 10 meters has been used infrequently for meteor scatter study due to past symbol rate limits. However, with recent changes in the FCC rules, WSJT-X/MSK-144 protocols may now be used on HF bands. Operators are needed now to be active on the MSK-144 or passive if possible, reporting via PSK reporter as monitors. The best times, early morning hours prior to 10 meters opening to F2 propagation. Meteor scatter propagation occurs well below F2 and is supported in or near the E layer, where the meteor ionization tracks occur. Saturday mornings are being used regularly to announce and coordinate 10-meter contacts using Ping Jockey Central. Announcements are also made on the Front Range 6-meter group's I.O. due to the substantial number of meteor scour operators in that group. To be successful, both active and passive operators are needed. The upcoming August meteor shower is an excellent time to set up your equipment and join with other operators preparing for the event. At a later date, the HamSci team will be collecting operator contact information. Contest rules can be found at www.hamsci.org/MSQP, and a description of the HamSci Meteor Shower QSO Party 2025 can be found at that same location. For more information about HamSci and to join the mailing list, visit www.hamsci.org. Electricity is a necessary component of any amateur radio station, but overhead power lines can be deadly, especially for portable operations. ARRL Public Relations and Outreach Manager Sierra Harrop, W5DX, joins us now from Newington. And Sierra, you have some safety tips that could help keep hams safe back from your TV news days.
Yeah, it's just a simple phrase, look up and live. And it's something that was drilled into us back in the day when TV news was done with pneumatic masts out of live trucks and steerable
Dish
dishes on
antennas.
set. Yeah, absolutely. You'd often get to a scene and you were in a hurry, you were trying to get on the air, the assignment desk was blowing up your walkie-talkie or your cell phone later to get the live shot up. But you had to take the moment and you had to look up and live. We recently had a story where one of our fellow amateur radio operators, it appears, may have put a mast into a power line and unfortunately became a silent key because of it. And it's just a tragedy. And so I wanted to put together some of the safety information that I had from that TV news world with the phrase, look up and live. And what we used to do when we'd get there, we would walk outside of the live truck about 20 feet around, walk the circumference, looking up, making sure there's no obstructions, making sure there's no tree branches, making sure there's no power lines. And look up and live is the phrase. And another piece of safety advice I'd impart, if for some reason the vehicle you're in does become energized, say a line falls on you or you get a mast into power lines somehow, don't get out of it. Unless it's on fire or emergency crews are there to help you, stay put. You're going to be more safe inside of it than you are if you try to get out, because if you become that path to ground, the electricity goes out in decreasing voltages, concentric rings around the vehicle. And if you connect two of those voltages, it's going to be lethal for you. So if you do have to get out, bunny hop or shuffle your feet, and otherwise just wait for them to come and de-energize the line. And again, the phrase, look up and live. I just want every ham to take that to heart.
Sierra, thank you. Great having you with us. And there is a great article about ham safety in this week's ARRL letter. But you can find that at ARRL.org. The numbers for 2025 ARRL Field Day are impressive. ARRL Contest Program Manager Paul Bork, N1SFE, shared the latest update. Entries by class for Class A, 777, Class B, 595, Class C, 38, Class D, 1,462, Class E, 576, and Class F, 112, for total entries of 3,560. And total QSOs by all modes, 861,397. Remember, the deadline for entries is July 29th, and you can read more about the 2025 ARRL Field Day at ARRL.org. Changes in the ARRL Atlantic Division. Marty Newington, AG3I of Greensburg, Pennsylvania, has been appointed Vice Director of the ARRL Atlantic Division, effective July 15, 2025. Newingham will serve the remainder of a term that expires December 31, 2026. He replaces Martin J. Marty Pittenger, KB3MXM, who resigned from the position in April. Newingham is an ARRL Life member and a gold-level contributor to the ARRL Diamond Club. The ARRL Atlantic Division is comprised of the ARRL sections of Delaware, Eastern Pennsylvania, Maryland, D.C., Northern New York, South New Jersey, Western New York, and Western Pennsylvania. Changes in the ARRL Sacramento Valley section. Jay Ballinger, N6SAC of Antelope, California, has been appointed section manager of the ARRL Sacramento Valley section, effective July 16, 2025. He will serve the remainder of a term that expires on September 30, 2025. He replaces Dr. Carol Mazzallo, MD, KP4MD, who was appointed as a Pacific Division Vice Director. Dr. Mazzallo has served as section manager since 2015. The ARRL Field Organization is the grassroots core that makes up the 60,000 volunteers among ARRL membership. And changes in the ARRL Pacific Division. Dr. Carol Mazzallo, MD, KP4MD of Citrus Heights, California, has been appointed Vice Director of the ARRL Pacific Division, effective July 9, 2025. She will replace John Litz, N76Q, who acceded the position of Director in May. She will serve the remainder of a three-year term ending December 31, 2025. Since 2015, Dr. Mazzallo has served as the Section Manager of the ARRL Sacramento Valley Section. She is Volunteer Examiner and an ARRL Life member. The ARRL Pacific Division is comprised of ARRL sections of East Bay, Sacramento Valley, California, San Francisco, the San Joaquin Valley, Santa Clara Valley, Nevada, and Pacific. A different kind of amateur radio contest will be in operation on July 19th, 2025. The Belize Radio Amateurs, VRA, is organizing the Flemish Mill Contest. The goal is to activate Flemish wind, water, rose, and horse mills to highlight Flemish heritage. At the VRA website, there is information in several languages where you can register, find the contest rules and the map of the mills. Visit vra.be for more information. The Maka Valley Amateur Radio Club, W6VVR, will activate special event station W6P from Alcatraz Island on August 2nd, 2025, from 0130 Zulu to 0830 Zulu. There will be three stations operating from Alcatraz on 7.200, 14.250, and 28.500 megahertz. All stations will be single sideband using battery. If you have any questions or live in the area and would like to be a part of the operating team, please contact W6VVR at ARRL.net. Bruce Page, KK5DO, is here now with this week's AMSAT report. Bruce?
Thanks, John. AMSAT is currently working on many different projects. We have the Gulf program, which currently consists of Gulf T and Gulf 1. As Gulf T is being designed around a 3U CubeSat, it will have a greater power budget and more experiments. One of the newest features is the SDR, or software-defined radio. This will allow changing modes from QSOs to digital or SSTV. There will be the capability of using 5 GHz or C-band and 10 GHz or X-band, which would be called 5 and dime. The Gulf T will also have UHF and VHF. This will allow those with current stations to still make QSOs and upgrade their stations for 5 and dime. Gulf 1 will follow Gulf T with lessons learned and additions. Another project is PACSATs. More about this later. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO. Back to you, John.
And thanks, Bruce, for that report. Just ahead in radio sport this week, July 19th, the Yoda Contest, that's CW and Phone. July 19th as well, the Trans-Tasman Low Bands Challenge, CW Phone and Digital. July 19th and 20th, it's the Labrere DX Contest, CW and Phone. July 19th and 20th as well, the CQ Worldwide VHF Digital Contest, that is digital. And also on July 19th of the 20th, it's the North American QSO Party, RITI, that is digital. Remember to search the ARRL Hamfest and Convention database to find more events in your area. Upcoming Section, State, and Division Conventions on July 26th, the ARRL West Virginia State Convention and Hamfest, that's in Sutton, West Virginia. August 2nd, the ARRL Maine State Convention and Hamfest, Augusta, Maine. And on August 3rd, the SVARC Berryville Hamfest, hosting the ARRL Roanoke Division Convention, that's in Berryville, Virginia. And finally this week, thanks to the Muskegon Area Amateur Radio Council in Muskegon, Michigan, for airing the ARRL audio news on their repeater. 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.